Happy Easter, everybody. Welcome to Compassion Church. We serve a risen Savior. Let's put our hands together like we mean it, Compassion. Look around and rejoice at what God is doing at Compassion. It's great to see you. My name is Myron. I'm the lead pastor here, and I want to welcome you personally. Thank you so much for celebrating Easter at Compassion this year. You know, you can live without food for weeks. I'd hate to try it, but you can. How many of you would hate to try that, but you can? You can live without food for weeks. You can live without water for several days. You can live without air for several seconds, but you can't live without hope. Today, in 2019, we need hope to cope with what we're facing tomorrow and what we're feeling anxious about today. Yes, we need hope for the future. We want hope for eternity. We want hope that we can live forever in heaven, but we need hope right here and right now as well. And today, the message of Easter is a message of hope that lasts for all eternity. It lasts right now, too. We can have hope about what we're facing today and about what we're fearing tomorrow. I'm excited about the message of hope, the message of an empty tomb, the message of the fact. Here's the fact of the matter today on Easter. It's all about our risen Savior who's alive and well. I love Easter because it's a time of hope. And maybe you feel like you need some hope today. You need hope to cope. I like to tell people there's no hope in dope. A lot of people are looking for hope in all the wrong places, right? People think, well, I'll find some hope in this dope, and they shoot up and they do this or that. They look for hope, but there's no hope in dope. You can find a high in dope, but you can't find hope in dope. I mean, what person out there has ever said, I'm going to find hope forever by injecting this stuff in my system? But there's hope today in Jesus Christ, and that's what the message of Easter is all about. That's why we smile. That's why we sing. That's why we celebrate, because the tomb is empty. And because the tomb is empty, no matter what you're facing today, there's hope for you. There's hope to cope right now and forever. There's hope to cope. And we look into the Bible today and we see the very first Easter morning unfolding. It's an amazing event. It's the most spectacular day of all days in all the history of humankind. We find a lot of hope is generated from that empty tomb. And I don't know, maybe today you need hope to cope in your marriage. You know, 60% of all married people say that they are disappointed and unhappy in their marriage. 60%. And you say, you know what? You're right. I need hope in my marriage. I need hope to cope because we argue all the time. I need hope because I thought marriage was going to be so much more meaningful. I signed up for the ride of my life. I signed up for a fairy tale, and I haven't really gotten it yet. And maybe you need hope to cope in your finances. Maybe you've got a new job and it just doesn't pay like your old job did. Maybe you need hope in your finances because you're starting a business and you're trying to get this business off the ground. Maybe you need hope in your finances because you don't know how you're going to pay those bills. Today, there's hope to cope. There's hope for all of us, no matter what we're facing. If it's a relational struggle, maybe you've been through a divorce. Maybe you've been through a breakup. Maybe you're hurting and you need hope today. Perhaps you've gone at this thing long enough and you just feel hopeless. You finally came to the point where you say, with your arms up in the air, I'll just never be happy in my marriage. I don't know how it's ever going to happen. I don't know how it's ever going to be better. Maybe you've given up on your dream. Maybe you feel like it's just never going to work out like I thought it would, and you're looking for hope today. I'm glad today as we look into the empty tomb, we find a message of hope that's applicable for our lives right here, right now. And in today's message, you're going to find a point where you can have a turning point in your life as you find and embrace hope for your life today. In order to look at this message of hope, this Easter story, I thought it'd be good to look at some of the people that played parts in the very first Easter morning. And the first person that I want us to look at today was a lady. She was the first lady that was able to see Jesus alive again. In fact, she was the first person that Jesus revealed himself to on Easter morning, and her name is Mary Magdalene. We learn from the Bible a little bit about this lady named Mary Magdalene. The truth is, Mary Magdalene was a lost cause. She was drifting through life. She was going through life with hurts, habits, and hang-ups like the rest of us. She was down. She didn't have any meaning for life. She was a lost cause until one day she met Jesus. And she met Jesus, and she was treated by Jesus with dignity, with hope. And Jesus came along, and he loved Mary Magdalene like she had never been loved before. Jesus loved Mary Magdalene like she had always longed to be loved. She wanted to be loved unconditionally. And that's exactly the type of love that Jesus gives her and gives all of us today, is unconditional love. Mary had a past. It was bad. Skeletons in the closet. Anybody got some of those? Anybody got some stuff in your past like Mary Magdalene? You really don't want it put on the screen today, right? That was Mary. But Jesus came along and he gave her forgiveness and he loved her right where she was and he helped revolutionize her life. He loved her and he liberated her. He liberated her from the demons, literally demons of her past. And he set her free from her hang-ups and her habits and all the hurts that she had. And now she had seen Jesus crucified on Friday. And she was brokenhearted. You can imagine the despair, the despondency, the depression she felt as she watched Jesus. She was one of the ladies that gathered around to watch as they crucified Jesus. And now, fast forward 3 days later on Sunday, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb to pay her respects, and she finds the tomb is empty. And she is having an emotional breakdown. How many of you guys have seen a lady have an emotional breakdown? How many of you guys, if you're honest, have had an emotional breakdown? You just didn't let anybody see it, right? She's crying. In fact, in John chapter 20, verse 1, let me show you that verse. The Bible says, now on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, that's resurrection day. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. And she saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Verse 11 goes on to say that she was weeping. How many of you understand, now that we know a little bit about Mary's past, how that she had been bound by just a terrible past, and now she'd been transformed by Jesus. Jesus loved her. Jesus liberated her. And now Jesus is dead and gone. She was beside herself, distraught. And what Mary Magdalene helps us understand is that when Jesus came back to life, he made it to where we could have hope even when our heart is hurting. You can have hope today even if your heart is hurting. She had pain. Jesus sees your pain today. Maybe you do have pain in a relationship that you can't figure out. Maybe you have pain because you do argue too much and you thought it'd be better than this. Maybe you have pain because you thought there would be more to life than this. Maybe there is a painful situation in your life, or maybe you're just empty inside and there's a pain there because you think, man, there's got to be more. There's got to be more to life than this. I want to ask you today, what is your pain about? My pain this past year was about my mom dying. She died on my birthday. Good night. I'm like, what could be better than that, right? How many of you have just been amazed at life, how life can really kick you while you're down? I was going through a difficult time in my life. My mom dies in the middle of it all. I've got problems like the rest of you, right? And my mom dies on my birthday, and I'm searching for hope. I'm searching for answers. And my wife, she tells me, she's, man, I'm so glad for my wife, and she's an encouragement to me. This is what she told me. She said, you know what, Myron, you've been praying for your mom for how many years? And it's been like 10 years I've been praying for healing. Every day I beg God, God, please heal my mom. She had Alzheimer's, struggled with it for years, had a terrible time battling it. How many of you know what that feels like? Dementia, Alzheimer's, some disease. Our family was really hurt over it. It was hard. We battled through that. And my wife said, you know what? You've been praying for that. healing and finally marrying. God gave you the best birthday present you could ever receive. He healed your mom on your birthday. And I've remembered the fact that there is hope because Jesus overcame the grave because the tomb is empty. My mom is in heaven. She's not dead. She's alive like never before. And she's healed. And that brings great hope to a hurting heart. Yeah, let's praise Jesus, because when we hurt, there is hope. Mary was hurting. She was sad. She was down and out and felt like there was no hope like I did. Maybe she felt like you feel right now. It's hopeless. I'll never see my dream come true. There's so many people today. If I asked you to raise your hand, you say, I just feel like there's no hope for my dream. You've lost hope of your dream coming true. You lost hope that your marriage could ever sparkle again. You've lost hope that your business will ever boom, and you're trying. Let me say, there's hope for hurting people no matter what you are going through, even though you're going through pain. You need hope when you're hurting, when you're feeling pain. Hurting people need help with pain, and I love how Jesus came in her painful crisis moment. He came to her. He called out to her. Look in John chapter 20, verse 15. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? He came to her when she was crying. Someone said this, tears are a language that God understands. I want you to think about your past week, past 2 weeks, past month. Have you cried? Have you been weeping? I mean, she had been weeping uncontrollably, like the ugly face cry all morning. Jesus was gone. He died. What am I going to do? And that's where we find ourselves in life when we hurt. And we feel like no one really knows what we feel inside. I mean, we're devastated at times, and it feels like we're the only one. It's like we've been marginalized. We're on our own. And no one cares. No one can identify with us. There is a wonderful Savior named Jesus who knows all about your pain, and he really does care. And he came calling to Mary, and he comes calling to us today. He says, let me help you with that. I love in Matthew 11 where he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are burdened down, and I'll give you rest. It's a promise from Jesus. He wants to help you with your burdens. He wants to help you with your pain. He can help us with our pain because he knows our name. Let me say that again. He can help us with our pain because he knows our name. Look at verse 16, the first part of this verse. He calls out her name, and it was a turning point in Mary's life. He says, Jesus said to her, Mary. Can you imagine the tender tone in the voice of Jesus as Jesus called her name in the middle of her turmoil? Maybe you sensed Jesus kind of rekindling that call in your soul and tugging at your heart saying, hey, I can help you with your pain. Because Easter is a time of hope for hurting people. He knows your name, he knows your pain, and he cares. In a world that's cold and heartless, in a world that it feels like no one really cares, God cares. He wants to help you. He comes calling. So Mary, on that first Easter, with her heart hurting, finds hope. If you're hurting today, if there's real pain in your heart, God wants to help you today. Easter is a great time to hit the restart button. Easter is a great time to have a turning point. This could be a revolutionary day in your life where you turn away from the hurt and you embrace the hope that Jesus wants to give. Not only do we see Mary Magdalene giving us hope during a hurting time in her life, we come to the second character that I would like for us to look at today, and you're going to love this guy. His name is the Apostle Peter. And we love him because he was bold and courageous and confident, and he was always speaking up for Jesus. Sometimes he stuck his foot in his mouth. One funny thing that he did in the Bible is true fact. He jumps off of a boat, and he took his clothes off and jumped in the water, and he swam to Jesus like that. That's what the Bible says. He laid aside his fisherman's coat. That was his craft. He was a fisherman. And he swam to Jesus. I just think that's funny. The Apostle Peter's a great guy, and we really like him because he's such a person for God. But one reason we really love the Apostle Peter is because he made a lot of mistakes, and we can identify with him. And in this story, in the Easter story, no one made a bigger blunder than him. He really messed up royally. In John chapter 18, verse 25, he denied Jesus. In fact, in that chapter, he didn't deny Jesus just once. He didn't deny him just twice. He denied Jesus three times. And if anybody ever proved that there is hope when we are facing our failures, Peter proves that there is hope if you have failed. And if you need a second chance, if you need strength to change, you can find hope in the empty tomb because Jesus is alive. There is hope for you to hit the restart button today. We see him really messing up. How many of you have messed up out there? Raise your hand. You go ahead and just be honest, right? Okay. The lightning's going to strike some of you. I know. Just get ready. You didn't raise your hand. We've all messed up. One thing that the Apostle Peter teaches us here that we can have hope for change and turn things around big time because he failed so bad, but then he went on to do great things for God. I mean, he wrote some of the Bible. God told him what to write. He wrote it. He preached one particular message early on in the church. Guess how many people became believers that day? 3,000 people. 1,000 for each mess up. I love that. I failed in algebra. Not completely. I was making like 37s on my tests in Algebra 1. Ninth grade, I was struggling and really didn't care about algebra, to be honest with you. And I was really messing up. My grade was an F midway through one of the quarters, right? Like, it was looking hopeless, despair, doom and gloom. And Dad and Mom were about to kick me out of the house and tell my mom got a bright idea. She said, I need to get Myron a personal tutor in algebra. And thankfully, she got a tutor for me. And guess who it was? It was the varsity cheerleading captain. Mom was awesome, really smart. And she said, you know what, I'm going to help my son out with algebra. And suddenly I began to do better in algebra as a ninth grade kid. And I pulled those grades up. You know what I learned? I learned that there is hope, that when you fail, you don't have to be a failure. And the Apostle Peter teaches us this truth, that you can fail, but you don't have to remain a failure. It's not how many times, and please listen to this message of hope today. It's not how many times you've fallen down. It's how many times you get back up. And maybe you've let God down. Maybe you've let your family down. Today is a day that you can hit the restart button and you can have a turning point in your life. And it can be the greatest day of your life today because the tomb is empty. Why in the world in John chapter 20 did Peter and John run to the empty tomb? I love this. It says in verse 3, so Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were running. They were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together. Why would they run? Why would the apostle Peter run? And he was out of breath. John beats him to the tomb, and John just peeks in. He's not about to go in that place. How many of you say, I'm not going in the tomb either, right? And bold, impetuous, Peter runs into the tomb. You know why he ran into the tomb that day? Because he knew if Jesus was alive again, just like Jesus had predicted, he knew that there would be hope that he could get a second chance. And if we were to interview the Apostle Peter today, we'd put a mic in his face. Hey, tell us, give us a takeaway from that day, Resurrection Day. He would say, number one, there is hope for a second chance. Does anybody in here need a second chance today? Have you completely blown it? Yeah, it's okay to clap because I've needed second chances. Maybe you have too. Peter needed a second chance. He had really blown it. There's hope for not only a second chance, there's hope for a strength to change. How many of you need strength to change? You've tried to live the Christian life yourself. It just hasn't worked, right? You've let God down. You've let your family down. You'd feel like, if you're honest today, I don't think I could ever live that life that God wants me to. I'm just not going to try anymore. I'll still go to church at Easter, but I really don't think I can do it. Today, because the tomb is empty, Jesus has all power. If he can defy death, if he's got grave-bursting power, he can help you live the life that he's called you to. You're not going to be perfect, but he'll be there to give you a second chance. He'll be there to give you strength to change. And one more thing that the Apostle Peter would tell us today, he said, I found hope in a supportive church. Strength to change, second chance, and a supportive church. In John chapter 20, this is amazing to me. we find Peter with the other believers, the other disciples. The church came together in a crisis. Jesus was dead. They were in this transition time. You know what they didn't do to the Apostle Peter? They didn't say, you low-down, dirty, rotten traitor. You betrayed Jesus and you denied him. Get out of here. I love the fact that true friends, when we come together as a church, we don't rub each other's mistakes in our faces. We help not rub it in. We help rub it out. That's what true Christian friends are for. That's what the church is for. The church is a group of people who understand we've all messed up. And we're not going to rub it in your face. We're going to help you rub it out. We're going to be there for you. We care for you. And I love the fact that James and John and Andrew, they didn't say, Peter, get your sorry, no good keister out of here. They said, come on in, bud. We've all messed up. We all care about you. And we're going to get through this together. Can I tell you that maybe you've been kind of disenfranchised with the church and you've kind of walked away a little bit? Today, I want to help you see the need for a supportive community called the church. We want to encourage you, man. We're not going to rub it in your face. We don't expect perfection. In fact, at Compassion Church, there's no perfect people allowed. We want to help you through your hang-ups. We want to help you with your habits. We want to be there for you, to pray for you. And when you come to church, man, you can gain strength from a spiritual community that really cares about you. And that's what the Apostle Peter found. We're not here to scold you. We're not here to rub your nose in it. We want to be there for you. You say, Pastor Myron, do you really like going to church or is that just something you do? I love church. I love being around people that care about Jesus and that care about me. I look forward to it. I don't know if this is you, but I go all week long, and by the time I hit Saturday, I'm looking for something else to fill me up on the inside. Amen. My soul starts longing for something, and it's called worshiping. It's called friendship. It's called brothers and sisters in Christ. It's called a message from God's word that we all need. And so I want to encourage you to find a supportive church community, and we'd love to be that for you at Compassion Church because it helps you with your hang-ups. It helps you hit the restart button. It helps you with your new start in life. And today, I want to encourage you to find a supportive church that loves you and cares about you. And I love it. Yes, I love coming to church because I get rejuvenated every week. And Saturday, I don't know about you, but sometimes Saturday gets long and drawn out. And I'm like, okay, we had fun, we did this, but there's something missing. And I come on Sunday, man, and it's special when I get around my friends. And we hang out, and we worship our Savior, and we encourage each other. We've seen Mary Magdalene. She represents the hurting heart. We've seen the Apostle Peter, and he represents the one that's facing failure. And finally, we see the third character, and very quickly, and his name is Thomas. And we call him, how many of you know what we call him? Doubting Thomas. A bunch of Bible scholars in here. That's awesome. Very good. Doubting Thomas. And Thomas somehow missed out when Jesus appeared to the disciples on the first time. And I can just see them when they start telling them, hey, we saw Jesus. He's like, yeah, right. I'm not going to believe it. And this is what he said. I won't believe it till I see it for myself. And so here's the great thing about this passage. I'm going to show it to you right here. It says, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin. Guess what? He had a twin brother, I guess. Maybe a sister. Who knows? Called the twin. Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord, but he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Good things happened to Thomas, even though he doubted. He found hope because Jesus appeared to the disciples again when Thomas was there. And this is what happens. Jesus was patient with Thomas. Maybe you're dealing with some doubt today. I know a lot of people who say, you know what, I love church and I know about Jesus, but I'm dealing with some doubts. I just don't understand. And I want you to know you're at a safe place today. I'm so glad that Jesus was patient with doubting Thomas. He didn't kick him out of the upper room. He didn't kick him out of the house. He didn't say, Thomas, forget you. Boom. and punt them out of the church and excommunicate them. How many of you are glad that Jesus is patient with you? You know what, Jesus, he's not only patient, but he's ready to give proof. Jesus said, hey, Thomas, I know you're doubting, but I've got some proof right here for you. And he showed him the nail scars. He showed him the scar in his side, and he said, hey, you can touch it. You can see for yourself. And he helped doubting Thomas. Jesus is patient, and Jesus wants to give you proof. I'd like to give you some proofs today about Jesus. Do you know that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and here's how we document it. 500 people at one time saw Jesus alive again. That means if we were having a trial or a court case and we were looking for eyewitnesses, that you could have gone to the area of Jerusalem and you could have found 500 people that all testified, I saw him alive again, and we were all there together, 500 people. If you go to a court of law in Maricopa County, I think probably two witnesses can get you the death penalty or something like that. I mean, they can get you convicted anyway. 500. Over a span of 40 days, I'm just trying to help you with some proofs. Like Jesus showed Thomas the nail scars. Here's some proofs. 500 people at one time saw him. Over a span of 40 days, Jesus, he didn't just appear out in the desert to one person and give him this special message. He appeared to the masses. And people said, yes, Jesus is alive again. And guess what today? Here's some proof. We could jump on a jumbo jet, fly across the world, land in Jerusalem, go see an empty grave where Jesus was for 3 days, but he's long gone. Amen? Yes, let's praise Jesus. It's proof. Check this little poll out. I'm amazed by this. A Rasmussen poll was conducted recently. And the poll revealed that 77% of American adults believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm shocked by that. I honestly don't believe it, but that's what the poll said. And it's a reputable polling agency. Rasmussen said 77% of respondents said, we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is mind-boggling to me, because here we are, 2,000 years removed, on the other side of the world, in a different culture, and 77% of Americans say, yes, I believe in the resurrection. There's got to be something to this. Biblical prophecy gets me some proof. Do you know that there are 2,000 biblical prophecies that have already come true? The Bible's never gotten it wrong. The Bible is the only book, God is the only one that can speak about what is going to happen in the future and get it right every time. In fact, Jesus, here's some proof. Jesus, and it's documented and recorded, Jesus said, I am going to die, and 3 days I'm going to rise, and the disciples seemed to have forgotten it, but it came true, just like Jesus said. Jesus never got it wrong. This is just a little tidbit, but there's a historian, a secular historian named Josephus. Here's just a little proof. And the secular historian named Josephus, way back, not long after Jesus, documented the fact of the resurrection as a matter of fact. He said, there's a tribe called Christians, and Jesus, their leader, rose from the grave, and he records it as a matter of fact. Not as a myth, not as a legend, not as a fairy tale. You see, Jesus gives proof. Jesus is patient when we have doubts. I don't know if there's anybody dealing with doubts. I just want to help you with some proofs, just like Jesus helped Thomas. Are you dealing with doubt today? It's okay. You're in a safe place. And then finally, Jesus gave a promise. I love the promise that's best recorded, perhaps, in a very familiar Bible verse. Maybe many of you will recognize. It's called the golden verse of the Bible, John 3:16. And God gives us a promise that we can take into our soul and cling to forever. This is what the promise says. For God so loved the world. That's an amazing statement. God so loved the world. How much did he love the world? He was willing to die to take our place. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And the greatest promise, the promises of all promises, are this: if you believe in Jesus, you can live forever. You know what? For the Christian, death is only a comma. It's like a little brief hiccup, and then we go into eternity. But without Christ, man, it's a period. We can live forever in heaven with Jesus and have eternal life. You know, the promise means a lot to me this year. It's not even been a year since my mom passed away. But she believed in Jesus. And because of this promise, I'm going to see her again one day. And today you can have the promise of everlasting life. Jesus died for you on the cross. He was forsaken on the cross and brutally crucified so that you could be forgiven and justified and have everlasting life. So I don't know what you're facing today. Maybe your heart is hurting. Been there. Your heart is hurting. There's hope for you. There's hope for your marriage. There's hope for your business. There's hope for your finances. There's hope for that breakup that you're going through and the betrayal that you feel. There's hope. There's hope for a second chance today. Peter shows us that, man, there's an opportunity for you to turn things around right here, right now. You can hit the restart button and your life can be forever changed. And there's hope for you to believe today, just like Thomas did. He saw the proof and he's like, yes, I believe. And today I'm going to ask you to take a huge step of faith and put your faith in Jesus Christ if you haven't done that already. And I want everyone here to think about something in your life that you need hope with, need help with. Would you ask God to help you in the middle of your hopelessness, in the middle of your hurt? Would you hit the restart button right now? Would you please make this a starting point for a new day with Jesus? It's a day of hope. Because the tomb is empty, he can help you overcome your habits, your hang-ups, and your hurts. And right now, right here, right now, I want to help you pray. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior and really giving him your life to make him the Lord of your life, today you can do that. Would you believe on him today like Thomas did when he saw the proof? You've seen the facts. You've heard the proof today. Would you put your faith in Jesus? You say, how do I do that? It's real simple. You just tell him. You believe in your heart and you say it with your mouth. And I'd like to help you pray. Here's how we'll do it. If you're ready to leave your old life behind, turn from the wrongs, the sins, turn from those things and turn to Jesus for hope. Would you pray this prayer in your heart? You can pray it silently and I'll lead you phrase by phrase. Would you pray this prayer? Would you say, dear God, I'll give you a chance to repeat it. Say, dear God, please forgive me for all of my sins. I'm so sorry. I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe he rose from the grave. By faith, I receive him today. And from this moment on, I want to be a true Christian. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen.